Carol. Happy Sabbath, everyone. And happy High Day, happy Holy Day. I love, Errol, your energy. You bring the energy on the Sabbath and the Holy Days that I think we all should have. It's exciting days, even when the drive-in makes you go absolutely insane. It's a pleasant Atlanta experience getting here, sitting in that wonderful traffic. And then you realize there's no accident, there's no construction, it's just Atlanta. That's what we do. Happy Sabbath, happy Holy Day, as I said. I have a quick question for everybody. How many of you like to go to the beach? You can raise your hand. A lot of us like to go to the beach. I think we'll be ending up at the beach for the feast this year, Feast of Tabernacles, another feast, another festival. I'm always amazed when you go to the beach weeks after, maybe even like a month after you go, what do you still find? Sand. Sand somewhere, sand everywhere. It was only a couple of months ago, Rachel and I, we were cleaning out something, I don't know, like an old suitcase or whatever, and we found sand in it, a piece of luggage, and we realized the sand was from Italy, and we hadn't been to Italy since 2019, and this was just a few months ago, so that sand was still with us. And when you're on the beach, you're going in the ocean, you're getting wet, you're having fun, so much of that stuff just kind of sticks to you. And you have to actively wash it off. You actually have to try to, like, jet the stuff. That's why they have those stations. That's why, you know, in the showers, you want some high water pressure. You're trying to get all that stuff actively off of you. It is, I mean, it's sticky, for lack of a better term. It just kind of sticks to you. And when I was thinking about this Holy Day, the Passover season, sin is really sticky, too. Sin, it clings to us. I think this is well represented in a scripture, Hebrews 12, if you'd all turn there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares us. And laying aside these weights, that sin that just constantly sticks to us, kind of grapples onto us, this is part of the larger message of the days of unleavened bread. Those of us who were baptized, we took in the Passover just a couple of nights ago, this representing Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that these sins, the weights that we have, they are forgiven. And now with unleavened bread, we move on towards unleavened bread. And this leads us to a question, I think it's put well by Paul in Romans. If you'd also turn to Romans 6, Romans 6 verses 1. So moving from Passover, sins are forgiven, moving to unleavened bread. And I think Paul poses the correct question here in Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So our sins are forgiven. Should we just continue? The sticky stuff that's on us, okay, that's fine, I guess. It's, you know, it can stay with us. Should we continue this way? Jesus Christ's sacrifice representing we are forgiven. And Paul says, of course not, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we move forward. And part of that moving forward is reflecting and assessing how much of that gunk is actually on us. Realizing that sin, it is really sticky, like that leavening that gets in places that we don't even think to look sometimes. And personally for me, I always seem to underestimate the de-leavening process. And especially now, we have a leavening super spreader in the house. He's about this high, and he'll bring whatever, wherever, you know. You don't think that you should eat in the bathroom. It doesn't matter to him. He'll eat in the bathroom. We feed him in the bathroom. That's probably our fault. But when we approach these days, I usually think on the sum, you know, when we're approaching on the aggregate, I'm kind of like, okay, it's not that much work to do. You know, it's like we got a car, we have a fridge, we have an oven. You know, we'll clean those things out. That's not so bad. But it's always when I get into the specific areas, when you're actually doing the work and you're getting into the kitchen and you're realizing, man, there's a lot here. There's a lot I got to clean out. This is kind of crazy. Or, wow, there's leavening in that. I got to admit, the Rachel and Ryan Schallenberger household has already not done so well. We both like these pretzels. I know when you say pretzels, kind of synonymous with leavening. Sure, we should have thought of that, right? But we like these pretzels from Target, and I'll talk them up all day. I mean, I really love them. But we were looking at the ingredients, and there's like 12 lines of ingredients, as in most of our food, unfortunately, nowadays. And we're both thinking to ourselves, wow, this is pretty cool. There's no leavening in this. So we both did once-overs. We checked it. And, of course, I'm eating these pretzels this morning. I don't know why. I just really am addicted to them. And I thought to myself, maybe I should do one more check. And immediately, like row 7, line 7, it said there's leavening in it. And I was just like, wow, that is so sad. First day, and it was pretzels. I probably should have done more of a inspection. But flip that activity to the spiritual side of things. And again, I'm going to be completely honest, when I'm examining myself before Passover, on the sum, I thought to myself, I remember I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, I think I've made some progress this year. You know, as a whole, I don't know, I don't think I've done anything horrible, but not trying to be too cliche, the devil is in the details. And for this activity, you could take any godly fruit and examine your details. Take any fruit and examine your details. So I'm going to try patience. So getting into the specifics of my life. Am I growing in patience towards my wife? Towards my children? Towards a 2-year-old who may not want to get dressed for church or wakes up at 3 in the morning? Am I always patient then? Patience towards church members, dealing with, sometimes there's friction. You know, we're all people. Patience with my parents, patience with family issues, family crisis, with brothers, patience in my job, dealing with the colleague that, you know, everybody wants to gossip about. We know they're really difficult to work with. How can I show patience there? Patience in winning. And especially patience in when I lose. And then I thought to myself, you know, sometimes life may seem happier without a mirror. Because when you really examine yourself, you might see how ugly you are. And if you ask God for the correct eyes to see, what will we find? We're going to find that junk is sticking to us. That it's ugly sometimes, that we have these weights, that sin is sticky, and we need to throw it out. For my job, I have, I guess I'll say the pleasure. I have the pleasure, I get to get into pipes every now and then. Sewers and culverts. I don't, you know, I don't do it all the time. The guys who actually do it all the time, as you say, they're the real heroes. But I went into a 42-inch sewer last year. 42 inches sounds semi-big. It is not big at all. That is a hands and knees kind of affair. And I remember it was like a 300-foot shot, and our portion of the repair was not close to the end that I went down in, because you go through a manhole and you have a hard hat on, and then you're basically crawling in you know what for a few hundred feet. And it's pretty nasty. And we deal in this game. I see pictures. I've been in these places. You will see some nasty sights. And the walls will just be caked. Caked is the best word. And you hate to associate cake, nice fun cake, with what's on those walls, but caked with junk. And if these pipes become so bad, so built up, and they will, they can't be used. They lose their service value. They fail. It's kind of an interesting thought process when you realize they lose their service value. Do we lose our service value to God if we are weighted down by too much junk? Sin is sticky. How much have we let build up? So I just have 2 points on this thought. The first point is having daily diligence to throwing out sin. Something that we all must have. Daily diligence to throwing out sin. We know Israel exited Egypt. They left behind that sin to begin new as God's chosen people, a nation established by Him. We live here. We live in this sinful society. This is where we operate. This is where we work. Right? This is where we'll fall in love. We'll have kids. We'll go to baseball games in this environment. We'll do good things. You name it. But after all of that, we have to realize we got to come home and take a water jet to the sand in between our toes or behind our ears, figuratively speaking. We have to be diligent and not let that sin, that gunk, build up, because it will if you leave it unchecked. Turn with me to, I just got one more scripture here, James 1, verse 27. James 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I'm taking a different perspective on this. I find this very encouraging, not just based upon like there's a commission there, what we need to do, but the verse is saying take action in the world. Don't just shut yourself in. You got to do good. You have to operate in the world. But whilst you're doing this, keep yourself clean from the junk. Keep yourself unspotted. So we are expected to be here, to go out in the greater Atlanta metro area and live our lives. But we have to clean ourselves up. And the second point, replace with the good. So I've been speaking about the gunk that's on us, that it's sticky, and we're working on getting it out of our lives, throwing it out. That's what Days of Unleavened Bread is about, getting the leavening out. And we understand that it's caked on us, and it's probably caked on us more than we even realize. And we put all this in the trash can. But this is not the feast of get rid of all your leavening, right? This is something we have to take in. We replace with the correct antidote. And I realized, you know, I just went through my patience issues. And I have a lot of patience issues, especially when I'm driving in Atlanta. I think most of us probably have patience issues then. But how should I fill that problem? Should I fill that problem with drinking? Should I fill it with just a whole bunch of therapy, medication? I believe this is one of the keys to unleavened bread, that our ways to address our failings don't work. And God says in unleavened bread, he says, here's mine. Try my way. Take the unleavened bread. Take that symbolism. Take in God. That's the antidote. So, reviewing these points, just to having daily diligence and replacing what's thrown out with good, in doing these things, we can have a rewarding days of unleavened bread.